Cool.
Savannah sweater.
Anybody?
I have a Lakeith sweatshirt and trunk.
Have another studio there too. All right, we're good. All yours. All right.
Welcome everybody to the CBAG Transportation Committee agenda. This is Monday, September 11th, 2023. We're going to get this meeting started. And ask our clerk if you can call the roll.
I'll play in the back of the meeting. City of Blair.
Here.
Joey.
You got this, Joey.
Did you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Everybody there?
Yes.
We can hear you. Thank you.
Thank you.
City of Kachella.
Here.
City of Kachella. City of Kachella.
Here.
City of Dunham Spring.
Present.
City of Indianwell.
Yes.
City of India.
Here.
City of Lakeitha.
Here.
City of Palm Desert.
Here.
City of Palm Springs.
Present.
City of Ranch Mirage.
Here.
County of Riverside.
Here.
Torres Martinez of the Cahuilla Indians. Chair, we have four.
Thank you. I'm going to ask our City of Indianwell if you can give some questions.
Ready? Begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. And to the republic. On my nation.
I'm going to ask you to remain standing and ask for a moment of silence, and I'm going to turn to my colleague from the City of Palm Desert to do this and that.
Thank you. I sent something to Tom this morning. It was the boat lift off of Manhattan on September 11th. I don't know how many of you may have seen this. It's 12 minutes long. It is worth every second watching it. We all have a connection with September 11th. Something happened to someone we know, somebody close or someone connected in some way. It's a 2 degrees of separation at the furthest separation. But it's important to all of us. And when you watch this, and I'll ask if Tom will send this to everyone, it will inspire you. It will fill you your heart. And you will know when the worst happens, the best comes out in us. And this is truly something that when you watch it, you will be inspired to do your best always. At that, can we have a moment of silence, please?
Thank you. You may be seated. Move on to public comments on agenda items. This is the time and place. Members of the public interest committee, are there any?
None.
Seeing none, we'll move on to our executive director's announcements. And after Tom, we do have Jason Yuli with the Riverside County Flood Control, and I know Supervisor Perez as well. And maybe want to say a few things as Bruce Barton was here at the Public Safety Committee meeting earlier to talk about the impacts of tropical storm here.
Yeah, I've got a few before and after slides really focusing on transportation infrastructure. Thought I'd share those with you. And I know there's been a lot of activity, hasn't there, in the aftermath of tropical storm and the impacts, and getting some attention from our state and federal legislators and the administrations. Show you a couple before and after. This is Gene Autry. Andy, and these are all, of course, just after, but I think I've got some before too. Bob Hope Drive, it's a river right in front of the casino. And here's some before and after. Vista Chino before, after. Monterey. We didn't think Mission Creek extended all the way to Monterey Avenue, but in fact it did. And you see the what the impact on the interstate with the road virtually stopped in one direction and closed to the other. Dune Palms. La Quinta certainly wasn't immune from the impacts either. and of course, heart-wrenching stories in the city of Cathedral City. And one of the things we're doing today, in fact, is sending a letter to Caltrans. It's not often that we say nice things about Caltrans in the state of California. Caltrans really did their job, and then some. For those of you that saw the Bob Hope eastbound off-ramp was demolished, and they had crews out there virtually the same day as the storm and did really a yeoman's job of opening that up and opening up Interstate 10 again. So our chairs and supervisor and the tribal chair are going to send a letter to Caltrans acknowledging them for their good work. And of course, the number of other efforts, Todd, that are underway that I'm sure some of you may want to mention, what we're doing with our federal and state legislators. We've got an update later in your information item on a grant that we're seeking. And of course, the first item on the agenda is very much related to flooding in the western part of the Coachella Valley. We're doing flooding issues dominate our entire desert, and for that matter, Palo Verde Valley and Blythe. With that, I want to turn it over to the supervisor and Jason for a little update. And I mentioned Bruce's presentation earlier today at the Public Safety Committee.
I'll be brief because I think we want to hear Jason and our expert as to the tragedy that took place last week. But Bruce Warren did an outstanding job earlier today, giving us a one-on-one, if you will, when it comes to emergency services. And from that discussion, we felt that it'd be important that maybe we would have an ongoing discussion as to how we prepare our cities, how we work more collaboratively, coordinate, communicate the three C's, if you will, with the County of Riverside, and then figure out ways as to how we ensure funding comes down the pipe from the state of California, from the federal government. But, you know, it was mentioned earlier, and I think Jason will get into this, how ultimately Mission Creek ended up at the Salton Sea. But in between all that, it also ended up in Cathedral City, Palm Springs, Desert Hot Springs, and maybe a couple communities in between. And the discussion took place earlier, which we talked about, could it have been prevented? Maybe, maybe not. You know, it has to deal with infrastructure. But with that said, I'm just going to go ahead and turn it over to Jason so that he can give us his presentation, and then we'll open up for some Q&A. Thank you, Jason.
Okay. Good morning, Jason Neely, General Manager of Riverside County Flood Control and Water Conservation District. And, I'll just keep you the highlights real. We talked a little bit about this in the earlier meeting, but you know, this was an unprecedented storm. We had 3 to 5 inches of rain across the entire Coachella Valley floor, 5 to 10 inches in most of the mountains, and then as mentioned in Mission Creek, we had, I think, just north of 13 inches at the top of that creek, which is up in the San Bernardino Mountains, about 8,500 feet, and 9 inches of that rain fell in 6 hours. So that was like a 1,000-year event. And so, you know, what ended up happening is that that wash up in the national forest got scoured, brought down trees, rock, mud, and you can feel the impacts of that going on several miles downstream. There's a 24-inch diameter, 20-foot-long birch tree sitting on the railroad just west of Gene Autry that came down out of the top of those mountains 10 miles upstream. And so, but I want to make the point, though, additionally, that, you know, the whole valley was getting rain. And so Mission Creek was absolutely spectacular. The Big Run, Little Run, Dry Creek, Willow Hole, you know, all of those canyons to the north were draining, bringing down water and sediment as well, combining with Mission Creek. And then also, you know, the Whitewater River itself was flowing. Chino Canyon Wash was flowing. You know, so every canyon, we bring water down into the valley. Most all of that got into the Whitewater River. And then there was a lot of sediment in that water. And what would end up happening is that sediment-laden water would hit a constriction. That constriction would force the sediment to settle out of the water. So you'd get a big mud pool. And then the water would find its way over the constriction and keep going down that sandy wash. And then it would pick up more sediment. And then there'd be another constriction. And you could chase that all the way down to the Salton Sea. And there's a new mile and a half long delta along the Salt Sea from the mud that basically came out of the upper wash. part of the reason I'm here today is that, you know, there's a lot of infrastructure, you know, the good news is that a lot of the impacts were to infrastructure, not all of it, and a lot of the infrastructure that was impacted were low water crossings throughout the valley. And so I wanted to make sure that I was here today so that we can lean in and offer you support as we're starting to think about how we can manage these washes differently and maybe which of these little water crossings we might want to put a little more investment in so that they can withstand at least some storms, if not all storms in the future. And so with that, thank you very much.
Are there any questions? I have a question in terms of, you know, it was mentioned regarding infrastructure.
Sure.
And typically, how would a community design infrastructure? Are we designing 1,000-year flood infrastructure channels? And I mean, and if we were to try to design for something like that, yeah, you're talking about what's that cost look like?
Right, and that's the challenge with the valley out here is that drainage is particularly challenging in this valley, and then you have to make decisions about how much resources you have and how much improvements you can make. You know, our standard for what we consider standard infrastructure typically for a flood control district is 100-year storms. And so, you know, what was happening in some of these upper canyons, like Mission Creek, we had a 1,000-year storm. We actually have a levee up by the 62. That levee started to get overtopped by that event because it was in excess of that design standard. The levee is fine, it did okay, but you know, we have these extreme storm events that you challenge. You know, and historically, I think a lot of the cities have made decisions on infrastructure and where to invest. And there's a lot of low water crossings, right? There's a lot of places where roads are right at the grade of the stream. When the rain hits it, you know, we have the rain events, those low water crossings get water across them to the bigger events, they get mud across them to the real extreme events like we just had, that whole crossing can get ripped out. And so we need to make decisions on risks and values and benefits. And, you know, it could be in some locations that those low water crossings are just something that's tolerable for now. You know, it's a minor inconvenience, but there may be other places where it warrants more invested because the communities are bigger now. And we just can't have these roads down for days or weeks at a time. And so, you know, are we going to invest in a full 100-year flood protection? Are we going to invest in 50-year flood protection? Are we going to invest in 5-year flood protection? We'll have to make those decisions. And they, you know, and there's risks then. The more flood protection you provide, the longer that crossing is going to hold. If you do something less, then that crossing is going to be more protective than it was, but still at risk of larger storms. So I hope that answers your question.
It does. And then with respect to the way rain cells operate, I mean, it just so happened that you got 13 inches and was it then 9 inches and 6 hours?
9 inches in 6 hours, not 13 inches in 12 hours.
And if that rain cell moves, say, over the cold and say Palm Desert, La Quinta area,
yeah,
things would look a lot different there. And
they absolutely. Right? I mean, Yeah, it's hard to predict exactly where the storms are going to be the most intense. And in this case, it was Mission Creek, but that doesn't mean that you get a different storm with a different aspect and it's a different canyon that gets hammered. You know, this could have happened. It just, this time it happened on Mission Creek. Yes.
Yeah, I guess I'd just like to continue on that and ask about preventive maintenance. We had a lot of time, I think, this time to try and be prepared. And I know the Kingston spent and all of the cities spent a lot of time and energy with their people out in the field cleaning channels, cleaning storm drains. Do you feel as though there was enough regional input into an all-inclusive plan for preventive maintenance for this kind of storm?
We had reached out, and I want to be careful to speak because there's actually two flood control districts that operate in the Coachella Valley. And so our district actually covers Desert Hot Springs and portions of Palm Springs and Cathedral City. And then Coachella Valley Water District covers basically the middle half of Cathedral City all the way down to the sea, basically. And so I think both of our agencies were aware of the storm, we were communicating, we were preparing. I know on my end that I was reaching out to the public works directors of all the cities in our jurisdiction and saying, hey, here's the types of things that we think we could see and have issues, and I know people are preparing. And so I think generally everyone got the message and generally everyone was prepared. Are there things that could have been done differently? Possibly. But I think most people took this very seriously and acted proactively. So.
Yes.
I just wanted to say thank you. Our public works staff, on our staff at Hot Springs, had you and your staff available to us almost 24 hours a day during that storm and after for weeks. Your staff is already mobilized and working on the washes and has already seen an impact. I'm kind of a broken record just talking about it over and over again, hoping that it just continues to stay in everybody's mind that the Mission Creek and all the other washes that Jason talked about in North San Bernardino, small little mountains.
The Broncos,
whatever they're called there, but they all fed into a larger wash, which then ended up being into the Whitewater Wash. And I was fortunate enough to take a helicopter ride days after with the congressman, and we were able to see how the Whitewater Wash worked, and it worked really well. Tens of millions of dollars being put in there, not everywhere. There are obviously impacts along the way, but we really need to focus on Mission Creek in the future. This is an event that happened that maybe we'll see in our lifetime again, but we're going to see events that are pretty strong, similar. And in the 70s, I can remember when they said it was washed out, no bridge. That's the reason Pearson Bridge was built. And there's been many events since that, that certain low water crossings have been washed out. This was obviously very significant. Designing something that Jason's talking about that's going to withstand some of these smaller storms is going to be very important for the future. So thank you again for all your help.
Yes, thank you, Councilman Madison. And I also want to point out Jolene has been a great partner to work with as well. We've been on the phone with her constantly, and she's on the ball, and we're working together to get things done. So thank you.
Just a comment in terms of connecting the dots, the Dry Creek, Willow Hole, Mission Creek, these are all kind of alluvials and creeks that we really think about during the CVCC meetings in conservation. And so our job is to continue to make sure that we can preserve those creeks and not allow development to go in those areas. Because we know how the valley has historically flooded and how it moves. And so I think for us, it's important that we preserve these areas and not allow for the loss of human life or loss of huge profit.
Yeah, we want to build safe, sustainable, and livable communities, and that means balancing the public health and safety aspect with the environmental aspect. And so as we're looking at managing a lot of these washes, it's leave the natural bottoms so that the blow sand of the environment can function in the bottoms of the streams and then harden the banks to kind of keep the streams contained so that we can have safe development on the outskirts of where these washes want to go.
Thank you.
I just want to thank Jason and all of the folks for the work that you did. But this is not about near events any longer. Mm-hmm. We were sitting at this table 4 years ago after the St. Valentine's Day event. I think we need to, as a region, recognize that we are dealing with something that is going to reoccur on a very regular basis, and we don't know exactly where it is going to hit, but it's going to affect the entire region. And this is another example of us not having infrastructure in place that we need to protect the region.
Yes, and thank you for the comments by Councilmember Middleton. I also want to say that we've been working with Joel, your public works city engineer, and he's been doing a great job as well coordinating with us. But there's, as you mentioned, there's a lot of interim infrastructure, and all of that infrastructure was attacked by this event.
All right, any other comments? Seeing none, we'll move on to the consent calendar, the two items. For the wishes of the
move the consent calendar.
There's a motion.
Second.
There's a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any abstentions? Any no's? And Joey, you can please aye.
I waved my hand, said aye.
Move on now to item number 7A, the contract amendment with Michael Baker.
for the Western Coachella Valley flooding in both San
Francisco. Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. About a year ago, CVAG executed a contract with Michael Baker International to do work on the priority projects as identified in our flooding in both San study CVAG did in 2015. Closely mainly focused on Indian Canyon and Palm Springs, and then looked at Marner Road and Date Palm and Cathedral City. That work's been going on for about a year, and now we've been working with our engineer, working with the agencies. CVAG is proposing to amend the agreement to add three additional work tasks or scopes, and I'd like to review those with you. First off, on Marner Road and Cathedral City, the original limits of the study looked at the site between Mountain View and Date Palm, particularly Long Canyon Wash, Willow Creek, I believe, and doing improvements to provide access or doing drainage improvements at those locations. What we'd like to do is expand the scope to go from Palm Drive all the way to Date Palm. That way the whole design is done. This contract is only for design, it's not for construction, but we can get the design done, get a shovel ready, and it'll go from Palm all the way to Date Palm, both of those streets connect to the freeway. Secondly, we'd like to do some additional analysis on Indian Canyon, in particular low sand mitigation. The work they've been doing so far, we know what we need to do, or at least we have a plan for flooding. We have some drainage analysis that's been done, and we're working towards that 100-year design, which may not be enough, as we just heard, but we're working on that. But we'd like to have our consultant look particularly at the low sand mitigation and look at some different alternatives, look at some sand collection, look at some road coverings, do some analysis and maybe some field testing, get some empirical data that they could use to analyze some of the alternatives we're considering. This is one alternative that we are looking at, which is a bike path that runs along the west side of Indian that will connect Palm Springs to the train station. We included some sand fencing on the side, some solar over top. But how do you know if this is going to work? And we applied for a grant for this this work and the support or coordination with the City of Palm Springs. We'd like to look at this more in detail before we get the final design done. And keeping in mind that this is very unique because we don't, in one case, if you're just trying to protect, say, a rail line or something, you put a sand fence and protecting the sand from getting on the rail. But in our case, we have to manage the flood as well as the sand. So we have to maintain the access for the flood, the debris that comes through with the flood, the habitat that's there, and then also get the sand. So we have some money in there added for the consultants to look at analyzing that low sand. And then the last item is Desert Hot Springs. We'd like to have our consultants study to get a all-access entrance and exit into the city. We had a considerable amount of damage on most of the, or if not all, of the access to the city. As part of that flooding and low sand study that was done back in 2019 and looked at the different flooding issues that occurred on regional streets, but we'd like to take that a step further, look at some different alternatives, coordinate with the flood control district and the city, and see if we can at least identify at least one or two major corridors where we can get an all weather road that can stay, that would be in place during a storm event. So to summarize, there's two actions. One is to amend the contract that MDI does additional work, and then part two is just updating or executing agreements as needed with the agencies. And then we'll be sharing the cost $75.25 on that. That concludes my presentation. Any questions?
Move approval. Is there a motion?
Second.
All right. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Billy? Billy's an aye. He said aye.
Love the work of the low sound.
The abstention, they know, seeing none, we move on now to. Item number 7B, this is the creation of an ad hoc committee focused on improving and passing. There's a and I also would like to welcome Artorias Martinez here. Welcome, Joseph.
And on this one, I really could just turn it over to Mayor Mattis. It was his idea, and he certainly raised the issue and suggestion at your General Assembly, and we followed up with a letter that we sent on his behalf to all of you. And Interstate 10 is not just, of course, about beautification, it's about keeping it open, and not just for after Coachella, and not just for addressing events like we faced with Tropical Storm Hillary. It seems that congestion is stopping Interstate 10 just about every other weekend in many ways. And it's something that really does need to be addressed, both for emergency access, but really economic vitality in the Coachella Valley. So, Mayor Mattis, this is your idea. All yours.
Thank you, Tom. When I became chair, you know, this is a well-oiled machine here with Tom, so there's not much you have to do except for lead the meetings. But I was listening in the last couple of years, and we've had a lot of discussion on Interstate 10, the traffic flow. We've brought to the table for CVAC from RCTC motorist assistance through the Coachella Valley, especially on weekends, the holiday weekends. But Tom brought to my attention at one point that it's not just the holiday weekends anymore. Palm Desert has a real squeeze point there in the Cook area of Monterey to Cook, where it goes down one lane and traffic backs up quite a bit. Even, I hate to say it, but we actually have, I think, a rush hour time now in the mornings and evenings here in the Coachella Valley. Nothing that I think any of us wanted to ever say. And then the beautification of our freeways. If you go east towards Blythe, they're really beautifying the freeways out in that area, making them nicer and more travelable. And as you go to the batting pass, they really changed it up out there. So I think it's time for Coachella Valley to be focused on being such a tourist destination, hospitality, resort kind of destination that we look at what that means. Most recently, someone brought up graffiti on the freeway and Caltrans director here. And so with those discussions, I really thought hard about it. And Tom suggested that maybe even the transportation committee that we appoint a ad hoc committee that can look into these issues and meet a couple times this year and kind of talk about setting direction for the next, you know, ton of years for the future of CVAG and what this will look like. So I can add, I can take away. I just thought about a few people on this committee. I'd like to obviously appoint myself as the chair of the executive committee. I don't know who's going to be chair after today, but obviously I'd love the chair of this committee to be part of that. And then our supervisor, I know you're very busy, but maybe if you can't make the meetings, you can appoint somebody from your office to make that. I know Steve works very closely with you, so between the two of you, one of them could be there. I think with the blow sand mitigation and what it does, the impacts of Interstate 10, I'd ask Lisa to be on the committee. And then Jen, she represents us at SCAG and very well on RCTC, and I'd ask her to be on that committee. If you go any further than that, we probably end up appointing this whole committee. But I think that's a good start. If someone has any issues, has to step off, we can replace someone better.
Make a comment. And I thank you, and I absolutely would love to serve on that committee. And I think we all saw during the events we're all talking about this morning, when we looked at the semis backed up for miles and miles and miles, and that wasn't an illustration of how important getting something done and done right for that area. Wade showed us, I think, in spades what needs to be done. So I think that's a great idea, and I'm happy to serve. Thank you.
Just share with Scott very quickly, following up on Jan's comments. You know, I also sit on CARB and I sit on HUMB, and quite frankly, you know, there's a lot of debate, discussion taking place regarding warehouses in the Inland Empire, to the point where eventually we're going to see some sort of stoppage, if you will, of that happening in those locations. They're coming this way because of the desert area, because of the open space. We're having some discussion on that, but just be aware of that, knowing that we already have congestion on certain days. And so I think this conversation, this ad hoc committee, is timely, not only for that reason, but for many other reasons. And I think the more we can get ahead of it all, I think the better. Because the Coachella is not going to look like it is right now 20 years from now, like it was years ago. So we have to be as prepared as possible for all the different reasons that are in the house. So I would be happy to serve if I had.
You need an official action?
Wanted to make a motion identifying the members or likely members, but with that, I did want to keep it to five just so we don't trigger creating another committee and noticing the rest of it.
I just want to point City of Lincoln Wells.
So I will motion will be to appoint myself as the chair of the executive committee, City of Lincoln Wells, City of Palm Springs, City of Palm Desert, and County Rose.
Okay. Well, and who's the chair?
Whomever can be chair, we can have one five. He actually just plugged the finger at you.
No, I don't know.
I'm not going to be the chair. I'll be happy to serve, but the key is money. We don't have any money to fix Interstate 10, and yes, there are plans to alleviate that problem, but if they're moving very, very slowly, and today, by coincidence, we're going to learn whether the Senate Elections Committee is going to approve SCA-1, which will reduce the threshold for transportation funding down to 55% instead of 66.66%. It's passed the Assembly, 2/3 vote last week. It's over in the Senate now. It's before the Senate Transportation and Constitutional Amendment Committee today. Presumably it gets through. I don't know. I haven't heard yet. But presumably it gets through. Then it goes to the floor. We've got it. I mean, what is our senator is going to do on this? We have to make sure that this gives us an opportunity to pay for all this. We can come up with all the ideas we want, but if we don't have the money, it just is a waste of time.
See, that's why I think you're perfect for that.
Exactly. I will support you in that, Chair. But there's another issue too, and yes, we need money, but as you said, we're looking at these mega warehouses. Mm-hmm. And the more we can talk about the impact they have on our region, the more it might influence decisions the cities are making, where they're going to be, how big they're going to be. I mean, there's a lot to this, and I think we need to look at through the broadest, most inclusive lens we can to figure this out, because we can't keep throwing semis. I think, is it 40% of all goods come in through the San Pedro Bay ports? 40% of those goods come through the Inland Empire. Mm-hmm. And so we've got to make choices that will make this worse.
Well, and
get money.
And I don't want to get lost here. There's quite a bit on our agenda to talk about, but it's what CBAC's to do. It's the plan for the future, and I think that's what we're looking for. There might not be money to fix it today, but if we're planning today for something that could be on the shelf for tomorrow, you never know what will take place. But there's more to it than just the transportation of vehicles through I-10. It's the beautification. It's making sure we got motor assistance. There's quite a bit to wrap into that ad hoc committee, and I think we can at least start the discussion.
That sounds like a motion.
That is.
All right, with that, I'm going to ask for a roll call. There are no other questions or comments?
You could do it by voice vote.
Oh, let's do a vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Joey? Aye. So, yes. Any no's? Any abstentions? Seeing none, we'll move on now to item number C. This is the engineering services for the Coachella Valley Broadband Strategic Plan. Randy Bowman, welcome aboard. It's your first presentation to this committee, and understand me. Copy from this city.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, members of the committee, Randy Bowman, CBAC, happy to be here this morning. I'm going to be presenting.
Randy, I don't think we've met. Tell us, what is your position?
I'm a transportation program manager with CBAC.
Okay, thank you. Sorry. I'm not sure I've done that, but I didn't.
I'm working on this project, also the Earth Music Land project. Very exciting.
So I have to work for Tom.
That's your meeting man, right, Dan?
Well, Well, the proposed project you're here to present today, if the committee remembers, in November of last year, CBAG applied for a grant for broadband strategic planning through the state's local agency technical assistance program, the LANA program. In March, the CPUC, which administers the funding, said yes to CBAG's application, and in April, this committee and the executive committee also said yes and authorized our executive director to proceed with soliciting proposals to conduct the plan. The proposed project follows the LANA grant application and includes four main components, including meetings and stakeholder involvement, of course, grant management and grant application production. The broadband strategic planning itself, as well as design engineering. In the last year, CBAG has been collaborating and coordinating with many of the member cities and other agencies here, as well as regional and other local partners. I think it's important to point out there's been a lot of interest in the LANA grant program. Several members have also applied and received LANA grant funding, including Indio, Palm Springs, and Coachella, and the county. And I might mention that my alma mater, Palm Desert City, has also been working on broadband strategic plans on their own. CBAG staff has already been engaging with many of our member agencies, and will coordinate those efforts through this planning effort. Plus, to meet the spirit of the LANA grant, we'll be reaching out to other stakeholders, including, of course, broadband service providers, education centers, and healthcare centers, which we call anchor institutions, as well as the housing sector. The project is expected to result in identifying last mile connections to unserved and underserved areas within our valley. The project will include engineering of priority corridor projects for further grant funding opportunities. There's a lot of money out there, and get us to shovel ready plans and to implementation. Catching up. So we received five proposals from the five firms that are up on the screen. We put together a committee to evaluate the proposals based on qualifications, proposed staffing, a proposed approach, the work plan, and of course, proposed fees. We shortlisted three firms and we interviewed those last month. The interviews were evaluated on their quality of the presentations, the technical approach, and quite frankly, more drilled down questions by the members of our committee. HR Green is our number one ranked firm out of the evaluation effort. And the main points that we have ranked them as number one, including their multi-jurisdictional broadband planning expertise and experience, both within this state as well as other states. Their local experience in working with many of our CBAG members. The realistic expectations, they were critical of the RFP and provided, I think, very good examples of how we might do things more smartly, and that was very well received by our committee. HR Green is proposing to have as a sub-consultant our designer for the CDSync project, which was sold in the application as being a potential backbone to leverage with any broadband planning for the region. And frankly, I think there were opportunities to optimize the scope and budget to stay within the grant amount that CBAG has received. And lastly, HR Green is based within the Coachella and local office here. So we're before you today with a recommendation to authorize the executive director to negotiate and execute a professional service agreement with HR Green Pacific Incorporated in an amount not to exceed $978,460, which is the amount of the grant, to provide engineering services for the Coachella Valley broadband strategic plan. Happy to answer any questions.
I have just a couple of comments and questions. I think it's important that CBAG, the community maybe even the county, that we map out kind of where we're going with all of this. Because, you know, obviously the county's gotten the grant, CBEC's gotten the grant, the cities have, well, four cities have gotten the grant. And we're all working towards being shovel ready, looking to get a big grant for implementation. And perhaps as well with respect to CBEC, there are some cities here because of qualification or criteria that perhaps didn't get a lot of grant monies, but yet within those jurisdictions are cells of folks that are, you know, are impoverished or in poverty that lack connection, that lack internet connection. I'm wondering if CBEC should be that tool in working with those cities to try to, you know, harness some resources or harness some implementation money in the future. That's assuming that the cities want to do that. Right,
but it is. And CDAC has performed essentially as an umbrella on this. We've certainly encouraged all of the cities to apply. And for those that didn't or couldn't, we will pick up some of the slack and focus on neighborhoods and communities in those cities with, of course, the cooperation and interest of city management and all of you and us doing so. But we're assuming that's going to be the case.
I think it would be just a good valley-wide goal to make sure that no community that's impoverished is without internet.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's something that maybe the executive committee wants to take up a look at, is like, how do we provide internet for all of the people?
Good point, thank you, sir.
Brandon, you're the man for it.
Team. Move approval.
Second.
All right, all those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any no's? Joey's an aye. Any abstentions? Seeing none, motion carried. We'll move on now to item number G. This is a reimbursement agreement for Avenue 50 Bridge over the La Quinta channel. Gustavo.
Hi, good morning, Honorable Chair, members of the Transportation Committee. Gustavo Gomez, Transportation Management Analyst with CMAC. The item for you is a reimbursement agreement for the Avenue 50 Bridge over the La Quinta evacuation channel. The proposed project is located in the city of La Quinta and spans from Washington Street to the east of the evacuation channel. And the city estimates that the project would cost a little bit over $16 million. And this would goes from design all the way through construction phases of the project. The improvements include widening Avenue 50 Bridge, from one lane to two lanes, installing bike lanes and sidewalks. The city of La Quinta was successful in getting Highway Bridge Program funding, which will fund 80% of those qualifying participating expenses, which comes out to being a little bit over $1 million. I would like to note that the Highway Bridge Program has historically reimbursed 88.53% of qualifying expenses, but that has changed in 2021. When, unless the project has started their preliminary engineering, the reimbursement rate is 80%. Without the outside funding, CBEC regional share for this project will be approximately $12.3 million. But now with this funding available, that has been reduced to $3.8 million. Staff is recommending approval of the reimbursement agreement with the City of La Quinta for the Avenue 50 Bridge project from Washington Street spanning evacuation channel, providing for a total not to exceed of $3,849,750 in regional funding for the project's plan specification and estimates, right-of-way, and construction basis. That concludes my presentation. I have no other questions.
Any questions?
Yeah, we received RFPs last week for the first phase of design and environmental review. Probably looking at an award in October, at the latest November, in that design contract. We're ready and willing and able to move forward on this project and anticipate the design and be construction ready in 2028. And we've been relatively successful with Caltrans so far on reimbursement for the Dune Falls Bridge, so we anticipate that we have to find the money, we probably will.
You put a motion?
Got a motion?
Yes.
There's a motion. There's a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those are yes. If any abstentions, any no? Motion carries. We'll move on now to item number E, the designation of 2024 State Transportation Improvement Program assistance funds. Mr. Boyd.
Hello. The item before you is the 2024 State Transportation Improvement Program. Every 2 years, we go through this nomination process to look at programming Coachella Valley's share of these funds. Just to review really quickly, the STIP program comes from CTC. It's a five-year program, and it's run on two-year cycles. The state will go through and come up with a target share of each of the counties for all the regions throughout the state of California. Riverside County gets their share, their target share that they expect to get. And then based on an intercounty agreement between WRCOG, RCTC, and CVAG, we program that, we divide that up based on that agreement, the taxable sales. And so the three regions in our county are the Western, Coachella, and Palo Verde. And then that funding is used on capital improvement projects. And then there's a set aside of less than 5% for programming funds. So for the 2024 STIP, the shares for each of our regions, based on the latest taxable sales numbers, comes out to these amounts. So our Coachella Valley share is the $11 million. We did have $2 million that was left over from a 2022 change where we had to reprogram a project. And so if we add that $2 million back, we have $13 million available in the Coachella Valley Fund. But also, back in 2022, when the STIP was submitted, RCTC looked at programming some funding for CV Rail. As I mentioned earlier, there's a target share that the state comes up with for each of the regions, for each of the counties. But because CV Rail, the Tier 1 was completed and they had a project description ready for Tier 2, they wanted to move that forward and get funding. RCTC has put together about three quarters of the funding from other programs. They thought it'd be a good fit for the STIP. So it was added in there. It was more than the target share, exceeded up to the maximum share. And when it was submitted, it fortunately was approved. So this additional STIP funding is about $15 million, was put into the 2022 STIP. So for the 2024 STIP, RCTC is looking back at that now and saying, well, portions of that project are in Western County and in the Coachella Valley for CV Rail. So if they look at the track mile cost share approach, they're proposing 64% for Coachella Valley. And if we go back and look at that $15 million that we put in the program in 2022, we have our $13 million to start with. We would put it in, we would designate another 6.6 towards the CV Rail. And then that leaves us with a remaining amount of about $6.8 million available to program for a new project for this two-year cycle. So what we did in 2022 was we programmed our, at that time, $7.5 million towards our highest ranked project in our TPPS was the I-10, or which is the I-10 Monroe Interchange. And this interchange includes the interchange as well as the bridge over the Coachella Valley stormwater channel. So this was in 2022, when we programmed this, actually, 2022 was about an $89 million project. And last December, less than a year ago, CVAG came and actually programmed additional funding. CVAG programmed another $30 million towards the project in order to get access to federal and state funding. There was some surface transportation block grant money, which is a federal pot. Then there was another local partnership program formula fund that we, in order if we could demonstrate the match, we could get this project funded and get those other funds. So we fully funded the project in December. So we went back and looked, well, let's check our number one project to see where we're at. And at the, when we checked with the city and the county, because in 2022, less than a year ago, we were working off of the city and the county were working off of 65% drawings. Now in July, they came in at 95% drawings. There's more detail, there's more work involved with improvements in the channel, there's more work involved with the unit prices have gone up. So now we have a gap of funding. So about 28 million funding gap. So if we put this additional stiff onto this project, there's still considerable amount of 21 million funding gap that's there. CBAG is working with the city, working with the county, and trying to see how this funding gap could be filled. But that is the recommendation for the committee. Number one is just to approve the RTTC's recommendation of putting the 64% track mile share programming of the 616 on the CV rail. And then part two is to program work with the city of Mindio and authorize our executive director to program the 6.7 million. That completes my presentation. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Any comments, questions?
Absolutely. I just wanted to make a comment. You know, as I listen to people talk about traffic hour and congestion hour and so on and so forth, it's amazing in the last 20 years, Supervisor, to refer back to you, the congestion that occurs as Indio is moving up to being 100,000 people. And that North End is growing exponentially, and it all stops at that bridge. And what used to take 15 minutes takes well over an hour. And then the impacts. There's a couple of schools in the area, certainly emergency issues. So that Monroe interchange is desperately and badly needed. I'm aware of the funding gap that we will find ways, I'm sure, to close. But I would ask everyone for their support, please.
I have a question, Mr. Boy, with respect to what's happening here. And just reading the staff report, the work to analyze the cost is underway, but a final determination was not available by the time the staff report was produced. And I think the questions there is schedule, costs, and then meeting the grant requirements, because there's other dollars that are associated with this project that we put to it. And then now with this additional funding gap of 21.6, from where we were at about a year ago to today, it's a big, huge increase. And so what's going on there? And how confident do we feel that we can fill this?
I think that's the point of writing the staff report. That's something that we needed to confirm with the city, because if we don't meet the deadline of going to construction by early 2025, then we lose that other those other 40 million that we got from the federal and state, because those had to be programmed those years. So we just had to be very sure that the project is going to be on schedule, even with the funding gap, that it can still start construction in that same time period, and that the funding gap could be closed. And if so, we can program the additional programming would be added to the 7.5 million of other stuff we did in 2022, then the project could take advantage of that federal and state funding. We don't meet that deadline, that is everything in general.
So we have a hard end date, 2025.
Yes.
Motion to approve.
Second.
We're all stuck in this
Okay.
Go ahead and say vote. Perhaps just to add to the point your colleague Indian Wells made, there isn't much money out there. And when you think about what you're doing, these dollars, the STIP dollars, used to be what funded interchanges. 80% of the cost of interchanges. Now we're talking about pennies and dimes, really. $12, $13 million for a two-year period from the state to build on the state and federal in the state system. So you see what's happening is federal and state funds are drying up for any project that enhances capacity, and our region needs to enhance capacity. Growth is happening here. The state wants us to build housing. We're growing, and yet the state isn't providing the funding to build on their interstate system. So you're seeing a shift of resources from state and federal government to the locals. And our program, designed in 1989, our Measure A program here, was called a regional arterial program. It was never designed to put in 30, 40, 50%, maybe even more
on the interchanges on the interstate system. So we are taxing ourselves. I'd point that out just to remind us of the funding issue on capacity enhancement projects. And then the other thing that you're doing here is an important perhaps step on CV Rail. It's kind of easy, I think, to say we're all for CV Rail. You are putting your money where our mouths are by putting some of the funding that we would be using on another project, whether it's Monroe or Jackson. We are putting it, we're wrote today, on CV Rail. That's one of the, really the second time you've done that as a committee. You did that long ago with Great Genesis involvement 10 years ago to move some transit funding to support RCTC's efforts on this. But it is an important step on CV Rail today. So just a little bit of background and insight.
Could it also be the beginning of RCTC wanting to still?
Yeah, well, it certainly is that too.
Okay, we have a motion to second. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Any noes? Any abstentions? And Joey, yes. Thank you, Joey. We'll move on now to item number F. This is a contract amendment for CV Sync Phase 2 construction. Eric.
Good morning. Good morning, Honorable Chair and Transportation Committee members. We're talking about phase two of C-SYNC, our traffic signal synchronization project. So phase two, the design contract was awarded in 2018. One of the things that is included in construction support is timing and traffic control plans. We are up to 18 corridors. What's kind of amazing to me right now through 10 agencies is that the construction crews that are out there, we're, every day, we're working 6 to 8 crews every day. That's a very large and dispersed project. And the construction support services are following with that. At the beginning of this project, the engineer estimated approximately $4 million for the construction phase of this project, which is about approximately 4% of the contract, of the construction contract. And we've been working on this. We authorized $1 million back in February, and we've been working off of basically a time and materials, kind of a task order contract where we tell them what to do, and then they do it, and they send us very detailed records. We wanted to make sure that as this is such a unique project, that instead of giving them $4 million, which was kind of their estimate, that we waited till the controller were in place and that we understood the nature of the project, and that between the contractor, the construction manager, CBEG, and the engineer, between all these parties, we had the processes worked out. We feel like we do have those controls in place. They do provide, our engineer Advantech provides a very detailed accounting on every invoice that they send us. Our construction manager is involved in all of the interfaces with our engineer. And so we are now coming to you wanting to put in an additional $1.5 million added to that $1 million to add more construction support services from our engineer. Again, the estimate is $4 million. We might be able to make do with this, or we may have to come back, but we'd like to ask this amount right now to move forward. It'll probably take us into the summer of next year anyway. So that's the recommendation, is to authorize the executive director to enter into that contract.
Move adoption. Motion, is there a second?
Second.
There's a second. Any questions? See no questions? All those in favor? Aye. Say aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye.
Motion carries. Joey said yes. Any no's? Any abstentions? Seeing none? Good to go. With that, we'll move on to item number G. This is the election of the Transportation Committee officers.
It's a simple staff report. You've got it before you. We do this every year in CVAC committees. Your chair this year is Mayor Stephen Hernandez. Your vice chair is Council Member Dana Reed. Is there a nomination for chair and or vice chair?
I would move to have it remain the same.
Is there a second?
Second.
Are there any other nominations? We have a motion and a second to have the chair and vice chair remain the same. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Joey? It's unanimous. Unanimous. Congratulations.
Thank you, Joey. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll move on now to item 8, to the information item number 9, public comments on non-agenda items. Anything out here?
No, sure.
All right, we'll move on to item number 10. Oh, sorry to make a comment. Oh, sorry.
And the time that we meet again, we should know whether or not we have received the funding that has been requested for Indian Canyon. And I hope we're celebrating when we get back together. We prioritized Indian Canyon over Chinatra because the hospital is on Indian Canyon. It's actually twice as much traffic on Gina Autry as there is on Indian Canyon. And it is a significant arterial. Within the last 2 weeks, we've had three additional fatalities on Gina Autry, again, because of blood sand issues. So I'd like to ask that when we come and meet in November, that we consider what approaches and engineering studies would be necessary for us to start seeking funding for Chain Autry.
Yeah. Any other comments? Seeing none, we'll move forward on item number 10. This is just an announcement. Our next transportation meeting will be held on Monday, November 6th. And then the next executive committee meeting will be held on Monday, September 25th. That we are going to